previously on Valiant.
You ever heard of a creature called Vidramis? You hear the name and you immediately respond, "Oh, you mean the glass treader?" It's like, "Yeah, we're gonna find the glass treader and get its glass."
It's this enormous towering creature. It appears to be made of rock. All about its body are bits of glass and crystal that have formed on it. And on top of this thing, there's a big building on its back.
All right, well, I propose that before we attack it, we go up there and see if anybody's home.
I can whip up some climbing magic.
Let's do it.
You climb up onto this creature's back and you find what looks to be like a rocky field, in essence, that's got a bunch of crystals and glass jutting up in bits all over. And the building you're seeing looks to be, now that you're closer, looks to be some kind of shrine or temple. All right, so as you enter, you can see it opens up to an enormous chamber. And then in the center, there is a big glowing light. The light fades away. And what you see, Sarna, is just in a nice little pile there in the center, looks like some equipment. You see a sword and a piece of armor and a shield. And the moment you pick it up, you hear a rumbling across from where you entered. It looks like it was a big doorway, it turns out, as that opens up. As you come into this chamber, it's a much smaller chamber. There is a small raised area on the far end with some steps that lead up to it.
I'm going to step over there.
As you walk up the steps onto the platform there, your obsidian sword, it starts to glow, and you feel the ground beneath you buckle a bit. After a bit, the light fades away, and you find yourselves in a dark chamber, and the only light coming into this chamber appears to be coming from above in a rectangular hole that looks like you came down in some kind of like elevator or something. Okay, that should be everything lined up and ready to go. Great, it's time for the big game.
Woohoo!
The only big game anybody cares about today.
Yeah. who remembers what happened last time? I do, but I'm testing all of you.
I have notes.
Okay, so, way long ago, this is partially why I do recaps at the beginning of the episodes themselves, if you listen to them. Way long ago, the Beast Kings rolled into town and knocked on Ev's door and invited Ev to come chase after Vidramis, the glass treader in the glass desert. Ev's like, "I know some people. I'll bring my friends along." And you head out into the desert. You fought some scorpions, you fought a giant antlion, and eventually you find the glass treader, which is a big rock monster that's towering height and enormous legs and all that stuff. And you all decided maybe killing this monster isn't the nicest thing to do. And you noticed that there was a temple on its back, so you decided to climb up onto it and head towards this temple. You reach the top of it. There's, you know, a kind of walkable area with a lot of crystals all over the place. There's weird shadows and whispers around. And then you enter the temple and eventually reach this area here that's on the map in the very center of where this big light thing is. There was, I don't remember, did I say there was a body there or just like stuff. There was gear there for sure.
I don't think there was a body. I think it was just the gear, equipment, and such.
And then Sarna picked it up, and there's like a cool machete and a shield. And
so psyched.
Is that it? Is that the only gear that was it?
There was like religious symbology somewhere, wasn't there?
Oh, there's, I have the machete, shield, and also chainmail.
Chainmail, yes.
I don't know about the religious stuff. I vaguely remember that.
I haven't gotten to the point where I'm editing that episode, so I haven't refreshed myself on it. There, once you picked up the stuff, there was a door that opened that led to the smaller chamber here. And there's a platform, and then once all four of you stood on the platform, it went down and sunk into the floor like an elevator, and you descended into darkness. And that's where we have ended things. And that's where we're picking things up. So, all of you are standing on this platform, and there's like rumbling, and it feels like it's moving. But for the moment, all you're seeing is darkness. Even those of you... No, I don't think any of you have dark vision, but... If you had dark vision, you would have still nothing but darkness. But yeah, that's what's happening at the moment. And that's where we'll pick up while you're having a fun elevator ride.
How long are we, like, how long is this taking? Does it seem to be a slow process?
It does seem to be a slow process. You're at it, we'll say you're about a minute in at the moment, in which... It's just very confusing. Looking up to where you descended from, there's not even like a pinprick of light from where you descended from or anything.
And this seems kind of extra dimensional, right? Like there couldn't... The glass shredder itself is not this big.
Well, correct? If it was this big, if it was this big, you'd be like descending into its body, which doesn't seem to be what you're doing.
Okay. Sarna's psyched. This is cool. Nothing like this has ever happened to me before.
Yeah, I think Ev is pretty excited and mystified.
That's a much more positive response than I would have expected, but that's cool.
I think Ev will... You said solid darkness, right?
Yes.
Ev is going to reach down to... the ground / floor, and he just chants Mwanga while touching the floor, and it will start shining light out to 20 feet as I cast the light cantrip.
Okay, with the light, there's a glow, and you are all four illuminated, but it seems to like kind of be consumed by the surrounding darkness.
Ooh. Shadowy extents. Love it. Hmm.
Saren will get out his silver harmonica and play some travel music.
Nice.
Well, the music kind of echoes about and continues for several minutes, assuming you play the entire time. And eventually there is just a crunk as it kind of feels like it clashes against solid stone. And there's still darkness for a moment. And the darkness itself seems to start encroaching and come closer to you. The light that is radiating out from the platform, it starts getting overpowered by the darkness, and soon all four of you are fully encompassed in darkness. You can't even see each other anymore. And then just a blink of an eye later, you find yourself in light once more. You're outdoors in a what looks to be just outside of some ruins. There is like a stone pathway that's been overgrown with grass and other plants. It looks like it's been abandoned for, you know, as long as any other good ruin on Galarian tends to be abandoned. And the stone is well worn, shattered and broken stuff. There are lots of columns and pillars about surrounding a large pit, and this pit seems to descend down into the ground. From where you're standing, you can't see how deep it is. There's also a stone walkway on the far side of the pit where it looks like you could walk up to it and, I don't know, be standing right over the pit to throw something down if you were so inclined. And as you arrive, there is, you're seeing all of this, but you're also seeing four figures that are standing on the platform. There's no detail to them, so you can't tell faces or anything. And you can't, at most, you can tell that they are humanoid looking, but there's no differences in height or anything. They all seem to be the exact same build. And any attempts to try to get more details by looking at them almost it's very difficult and almost painful. It's as if they are intentionally imperceivable. And just as you arrive, you have just a second or two to kind of take in your surroundings. You notice these figures, and you see all of them extend their hands and hold each other's hands, you know, in a line. And then all four of them jump down into the pit. And when they do that, a ghostly film kind of covers the top of the pit. And you can still see that it's a hole, but it now looks like there's something like covering the top of it to kind of seal up the pit or maybe prevent anyone else from jumping in. And that's where you are.
This ain't right.
Does the film still look like it's there?
Yes, it looks, it's just a ghostly, kind of like a weird ectoplasm coating.
I feel very out of my depth right now. I got no idea what's going on here.
Sarna is suddenly less excited.
I guess I go up and approach the pit just out of curiosity, even if there's no way I could possibly know what's going on here. So I'm going to go right up to the edge.
I will travel with Sarna up to the edge of the pit.
Yeah,
I'm going to kick a rock into the pit.
The good news is that this is such a bizarre, unforeseen, no basis having never happened before experience that none of us expect anyone else here to have any idea what we're doing. So the expectation level is low, right? That performance anxiety should be down since none of us have any idea what's going on.
I thought the wizard always knows what's going on.
Yeah, Ev is just kind of like holding one of his temples because he was trying to really get distinct features from the four indistinct figures. So his head's bothering a little, and he just looks around trying to make sense of the situation in the area. Do I think we're still in Arcadia by chance?
As best as you can presume, you haven't gone in a direction that suggests that you're not in Arcadia. You might be under Arcadia, but you're unclear on that.
What's the situation with the sky?
Yeah, I was just going to ask then, what's the sky like?
The sky is just gray and overcast and bleak. It's just full gray, like a full blanket, as if someone took the paint bucket tool and just spilled, you know, a gross gray on it, and it's just gray the entire way. There's no variation at all, no clouds. There's no darker spots or brighter spots or anything like that. It's just nothing.
I think I'm just kind of quiet and looking around then.
Can we tell by looking at the ruins if the architecture style matches the ruins we're used to seeing around Ultimata?
Yes, it does match the ancient Razatlani style of ruins. So it does suggest that you're at least in a place that resembles Arcadia. Ziadani mentioned kicking a rock onto the film, and it kind of just bounces onto it. The film seems to have a little bit of give. As imagine like the latex of a balloon that's been stretched out, and you kind of poke it, but it doesn't fall into the hole.
So are we supposed to follow, or are we supposed to not follow?
Let's try putting something heavier in there. Is there a bigger rock, like a significantly sized rock I can pick up and see if it punctures the film? There are rocks everywhere. I just do that.
Yeah. You find a boulder the size of a small boulder.
Yeah, exactly.
And throw it into the pit. And it has, again, some give, but it doesn't give any more than when the small rock was kicked onto it. It just kind of a tiny bit goes down, and it seems like even a heavier rock does no difference.
Okay, so my instinct to just jump in the pit, like I have no consideration for my safety whatsoever, is not going to work. Can I roll a good old-fashioned perception check?
Absolutely. You can roll a new modern age perception check as well if you prefer it, but
well, that was a crit fail.
Well, not necessarily. You rolled a natural one, but that doesn't necessarily mean there's a crit fail.
That's true. I got a 12.
You look down the pit. It is dark. It is unseemingly dark. Like it, you expect light to be able to go down some distance, right, before you start it getting darker, but much like the darkness that you were kind of covered in as you were descending into this area, it just about a foot down from the edge just becomes pitch black on down.
I think Ev is going to come up from behind the group and bend down to the pit and try to touch the film and see what they think of it, investigate it, see if it's solid for them, etc.
I described it feeling much like the latex of a balloon, and I'll say that's kind of what it feels like on your hand. It's not slimy or gross or anything. It's just kind of, it's got some thickness to it, and it is solid enough, but it doesn't leave anything behind when you touch it, and it doesn't like hurt or burn you or anything. It just is very strange.
Can I try to study it to the point of what I might think of it magically, or like through an arcana occult roll, see what I can figure out about it, or if it seems familiar to anything I've studied?
You can definitely try.
Yeah. You want to make that roll?
You can do it. It's fine.
All right, so
I'm way too lazy to do secret rolls.
Where's my dice? There we go.
The problem with a secret roll is that it's secret even from the audience.
This is true.
1d20 plus 13. I rolled a 13. Unless Louise goes 26. In
and does a voiceover.
Oh.
Hello, audience. The secret roll was the result of 26.
The voice of the dice.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That would get old very quickly. Not necessarily for the audience, but for me. Having to do that every time. And we see here, Owen has rolled an 11 on his die roll. Much like golf commentators.
I like that was almost rolling dice ASMR for a second.
Yeah. I would listen.
So you got a 26 on your, we're calling it Arcana, because I feel like that's probably your better of your two skills. And nothing you've ever encountered has prepared you for this. You've seen nothing like this before. It's not force magic that's like blocking you. It's not, you know, reshaped material of any kind. The magical essences are suggesting that the best that you're getting is that maybe this is like material that's been kind of infused with spiritual energy in some way, but that like doesn't make sense because material component, the material aspects, material essences of magic and the spiritual essence of magic kind of are like diametrically opposed and don't really mix. So this is very strange.
Yeah.
And that's all you're getting. It's really weird and you're not sure what it is. Owen, what was your role for? Were you looking to do something with that?
That role was me pressing the wrong button. However, I would actually like to do something.
Okay.
I would like to make a bardic lore check, which allows me to recall knowledge about absolutely anything.
Yes.
So I would like to try and do that.
Okay.
And I got a total of 13.
The So I'm assuming you're looking at everything you possibly can to try to suss out any information. So the pit itself, you don't figure out anything. You got nothing with the weird film over it. The one thing you are kind of noticing is, yes, the ruins here suggest ancient Razatlani structures, but they seem to also have modern architectural components to them, as if like someone with modern day knowledge of like stoneworking and stuff has built things in such a way to kind of resemble the ancient Razatlani. Some of it is ancient Razatlani, but some of it seems to be this weird like modern hybrid that you're seeing.
So it's a mix of actual ancient Azalanti material and modern recreations of ancient ruins.
Yes.
Saren will share that with the party and point out where he's observing modern stoneworking techniques and fittings and joints and angles that aren't original to how this would have been done, as opposed to those ruins over there, which are totally, as far as I can tell, authentic. Yeah. Took a semester in ruin analysis at Bardic School, so I never really expected it to come up. But
the modern day equivalent would be like if you notice like ancient Roman columns and pillars that were like patched over with modern day cement, right? Stuff gotcha. Like that.
Hey, Louise.
Yeah.
So we went down the elevator, right? So as far mm-hmm. as we can tell, there's no sky above us. We've kind of just like gone down into a pit, like maybe beneath like the surface of the world, you would say. Right?
Yeah.
So do you think maybe lore underworld would be applicable here?
Jess, why? Jess. I would not say that underworld lore is applicable here.
Rob, go ahead.
It's possible stretch.
We tried. I think Ev looks around to where...
Audience, it turns out all of Jess's dice rolled natural ones from now on. Oh.
The voice of the dice is cruel.
Oh, worth it.
If this is the first time you're realizing that dice are cruel, you
pay attention while roleplaying. Typically, I'm GMing, and the dice can be very kind. But
no, that's if you're the GM, what you see is kind, isn't it? Yeah.
Ev will like take the look around where noted and say, "I don't know about the ruins, but at least the material that is this cover well." It seems like someone's blended actual material fiber with spiritual energy, which I don't know how to do that. That's pretty atypical. So
y'all saying this is a place of opposites, yeah? There's the material is spiritual, there's the new and there's the old, the original, the recreation.
Yeah, I think that would be a fine assessment.
Mm-hmm. If I touch the film with my sword, which is a magic item, does it do anything at all?
No, and it doesn't seem to cut it either.
If I smash one of the ruins, does anything happen at all? One of the little pillars.
No, it's broken at this point. It breaks just like you would expect it to break.
I mean, can we just go up on the platform and try to jump while holding hands?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, we have a couple of options. We can spend a lot of time trying to make the elevator platform go back up. We can poke around all the ruins. We can pray. We can study. I've got a couple days worth of food. And when all of that produces nothing, in the end, we'll hold hands and try and jump into the pit. So I'm all in favor of cutting to the chase, holding hands and jumping into the pit.
Let's do it.
Worst case scenario, we'll just bounce a bit, and that'll be fun.
Is that really the worst case scenario?
Not to our death, by the way, because I've led a relatively good life, so death isn't the worst case scenario. But that we'll fall into the darkness and break our limbs on rocks and slowly starve to death while small maggots eat our eyes. That's the worst.
To that effect, can I have about 10 minutes before we do this jump? If it goes wrong, I'd like to be able to turn into
some spells.
Yeah, I just like to be able to, you know, turn into a bird if this go wrong.
That's fair.
Yeah, Ev looks much more concerned now about the worst case scenario when he's just staring at the pit like, I don't know, like shaking his head.
I mean, one thing we did notice is before, nothing happened in the chamber until we stood on the platform, and I kind of wish that I had remembered that earlier before we just kind of stood around. But yeah, I think that's the only way anything is going to happen in here.
Yeah. If you want, you can try to investigate the platform before we stand on it. You know, while I'm taking my 10 minutes here.
That's a good idea. I'll go look that over. And Ev's going to walk over to the platform where they jump from and look at the stone and such.
Okay. Are you just observing it from the ground, or are you getting up onto the platform itself?
Like, Ev does the, like, toe-touch tap, carefully puts a little weight on it, and then walks up slowly. Okay. So I'll go up on it.
Once you get up onto that platform, you all hear, like, a... How do I best describe this? Imagine that there's no sound, right? You know, there's the nothingness of sound, and any sound that there is, you know, positive on, like, if there were like a graph, it'd be positive. Imagine that there's like a negative, like anti-sound that happens for just a minute. And as it like goes up to nothing, like it kind of like a hole filling up with just like a vacuum of air filling up. And it happens from behind you, right around where the platform was that you were there. And when that happens, if you look over, you see that there's now a shadowy figure from where you originated.
Ev jumps off.
The shadowy figure remains there, and this shadowy figure is much more perceptible than the unknowable figures from before. Mm-hmm. It looks to be a warrior, and they're wearing a warrior's outfit, you know, marked with lots of feathers and other stuff that, were they not made of shadow, would look very vibrant and stuff. It looks to be kind of an ancient Resiplani warrior of sorts, and they have in hand a shield and a machete and you know, wearing their armor. And they just kind of stand there for a moment, watching you four.
Oops.
Hello?
Howdy.
The figure begins to speak, but it's not in anything any of you can understand. It seems like they're speaking in response, and then you can't understand it at all.
Anyone got any spells for languages and stuff?
No. And I'm starting to worry we're going to let something out we shouldn't.
I think that's a reasonable concern.
It responds again. Again, you can't tell anything. And when it does that, after it responds, it raises its shield and its sword and enters a fighting stance.
Okay, wait, are you like pantomiming to us now? Because we don't understand you.
You see it shake its head as if it obviously understands, and it says no, but...
We don't know what you're saying.
And it responds again and takes a step forward again in its battle stance.
No, wait. We don't understand what you're saying. So if you ain't pantomiming at us, could you start a little bit?
Another step forward.
Wait. Are you aggressing on us?
Aggressing? Is that a word? Aggressing?
Is this an aggressive action on your part?
The slightest of nods with another step forward.
Ev's going to pull out a dagger and try to write in Draconic, because Draconic's an old language, in the ground. Hello, like in the like dirt and grass and rock, and try to like carve out hello quickly, and points down to it. Can you write? Can we talk?
The figure takes their sword, bashes the shield twice, and starts charging forward.
I'm hoping this is a training montage.
They don't want to fight. They don't want to talk to us.
They're looking for a fight. We're rolling initiative.
That there don't seem friendly.
Well, luckily, I have a dagger.
Hey there, Luis here. It's me, your GM for Valiant. Normally, I would take some time during this break to talk GM tips or the production of Valiant or something like that, but I'm going to use this time for something else. As of this recording, it's been a bit over 24 hours since a terrible shooting in Atlanta, Georgia, which ended the lives of 8 people. It's an absolute tragedy in my heart, and condolences go out to all the families affected. A number of the victims were Asian, and this seems to be the culmination of a growing anti-Asian sentiment throughout the United States. I'm here to say that I believe Asian lives matter, and I believe that supporting the Asian and Asian American communities is absolutely important, especially at a time like this. If you're looking to help out, I think one of the easiest and most important things you can do is be an ally by listening to Asian voices. If you're willing to listen, the Asian communities will tell you how you can help at any given moment. Listening is absolutely important, so make sure you always take the time to listen. If you end up doing something wrong in your genuine attempts to help, listen to responses and try to understand what you did wrong and how you can improve. The other important thing you can do is inform yourself. Seek out resources to educate yourself on matters like systemic racism, injustices that Asians face, and how to be an ally. If the Asian community or a member is willing to help inform or educate you, they'll let you know, and you'll become aware of this by listening. Otherwise, you'll need to seek out resources yourself. Thankfully, a lot of great people have already done the work of collecting various ways you can help the Asian community, inform yourself, and spread the message. I've linked a number of different pages with links for educational resources, ally resources, donation links, and more in the show notes. Also, don't forget that helping doesn't end once the news cycles move on to something else. Helping the Asian community, as well as other marginalized groups, is a constant process. Keep listening on ways you can help and learn to help those in need. Finally, this can all be tough to handle. If at any time you become overwhelmed, it's okay to take a step back and take a break. Self-care is very important. People will still accept your help once you come back. So use the links and whatever other information and resources you can find to help people out now and in the future and anytime you think you can help. Okay. Sorry to barge in on your escapism with a bit of heavy talk, but I figured this might get some information out there to some more listeners. I promise next episode we'll have more of the typical chatting that this segment normally has. For now, let's get back to things. Looks like our heroes are about to face against that mysterious shadow, so let's see how that goes. Let's hear that guitar.
Yeah, great. I have a harmonica. Of course, I'm a bard, so...
Yeah. I've seen you telekinetically projectile a gun, so I'm not worried.
Yeah, but I'm not going to do that with my silver harmonica.
Oh, no. Harmonicas
some
aren't...
things are wrong. Precious.
Right,
what kind
right.
of savage do you think I am?
Yeah.
23. Everyone is ready to go. Ziadani was the most cautious and is first to respond to the hostilities.
Yeah, I don't like this.
I was just scrolling through my inventory just to remind myself of what I have. And one of the things on here is hot weather clothes and then in parentheses, fashion.
Yes.
I guess one thing to note, as this figure is rushing forth, like I said, it's kind of shadowy, just dark figure. And once it's starting its attack, its shadow kind of grows wider, and there's like tendrils and stuff that kind of grow out that freak you out. So, Ziadani, when you start your turn, give me a will save.
Okay. I have a 21.
21. You are frightened one. Freaked out by the everything. But other than that, it's your turn.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like this is probably more magical and maybe undead than a nature check would be able to identify, but I'm going to go ahead and try a recall knowledge with my nature.
Okay.
I've got a 27.
Your gut feeling is correct. It does not seem like a natural thing, and you don't really know much of what's going on.
Well, this thing ain't natural. And I'm going to cast a spell. And okay. A spell that I want to cast, I think I'll just cast Electric Arc.
Great. So. Reflex save. What's your DC?
My DC is 21.
All right, it saves, but go ahead and roll that damage.
Let's see.
It roll that beautiful damage.
3. So.
Okay.
So takes that 4 damage. Well, no, I have to add my spellcasting modifier.
Ah, takes potentially more damage.
A little bit. So it would take 6 because my total would be 12.
All right. 6 damage, and you have an action left.
No, Electric Arc is 2.
Yeah, but... Oh, no, your third action is your recall knowledge.
That's right.
All right, great. Well, then we're off to Sarna. Sarna, hey, give me a will save at the start of your turn.
14. Hold on. 14. Hold on. Do I have one of
Everyone
those...
Everyone has 3 SS points.
Do I have
bravery.
Related bravery. That I don't think makes any difference.
I think it would, actually. I'm pretty sure that bravery says when you would become frightened, it's always 1 less than what the normal value
is. Oh, that's what it is. It's not a bonus. Okay. That's useful. Well, then that's great. I have a 14 plus bravery.
When you gain the frightened condition, reduce its value by 1. So you would become frightened 1, but because you're so brave, nothing happens.
I'm so brave! Okay, great. That's good news. I am going to use my first action to rush forward right up in its face, because that's what I do. Second action, draw my sword. And third action, I'm going to swing two-handed.
Great.
That's a 25 to hit.
25 hits.
Yeah. Two-handed, that is 15 slashing.
All right, so you swing your sword and it passes through this thing.
It
still looks like it's cutting it, but it's, you know, hard to be effective against just a shadowy incorporeal figure. You've dealt damage; it's just been reduced a bit.
Gotcha. Okay, but, dealing damage is better than I feared.
So you hit this thing and it gives you almost like a pleased smile as you hit it.
Am I proving myself as a warrior?
And it's Ev's turn.
Can I try to identify what this thing is?
Sure. Seems like maybe religion's the best way to go here.
Yeah, I figured. But I'm not very good at that. Oh, 25. I rolled an 18. All right.
Ooh.
25.
Oh, I need a will save too, don't I?
You're not sure on the exact nature of what this thing is, but you can tell it's incorporeal, which suggests a lot of things already, because incorporeal things kind of work all the same. Mm. Assuming things even work the same here and wherever you are. But if it's an incorporeal undead, that means force damage, something with a ghost touch property, or positive energy will affect it normally. A non-magical weapon can still hurt it, but it would be very ineffective. So at the very least, using magic on it is probably the best way to go. That's about all you get. Yeah.
All right. Do you need a will save from me?
Not till you get within 30 feet of it.
Oh, lovely. Well, dang it, I want to get within 30 feet of it. No, I don't. Let's see.
Yeah, the tendrils that it's kind of... It seems like the tendrils are not anything it controls, that they reach out within 30 feet.
Being frightened's not that bad.
Says the person who didn't actually get frightened.
Yeah, and I have nothing useful there. Yeah, so Ev will move forward within 30 feet.
Okay, right. And that's when you give me a will save, please.
Lovely. That's a 17.
That's a failure, so you're going to be frightened one, which luckily that goes away at the end of your turn.
All right. Ev studies the creature, and as he's moving up, he says, I think this might be undead. It might be some sort of ghost or spirit. Focus on using magic or magical weapons. He shrugs a bit, and then he chants... Engaho, and a physical field of force will briefly manifest in front of him as he casts shield. That's in a moment.
It's this warrior's turn. It is going to swing its sword at Sarna. And let's see what you get. Oh boy, this is rough. Sarna, this is a 37 coming at you.
Oh my god!
You can use an essence point to make them reroll.
I will do that.
Challenge fate.
That's yeah. Okay. Let's do that.
You know, as the sword attack's coming, you feel like it's about to hit you. And in the brief instant that's about to happen, that's when you try to call upon your essence power. And it seems like this thing is unaffected by your essence point. It seems like you can't force it to reroll. You don't lose that essence point.
Oh, that's
but
good.
You feel powerless against trying to use your essence power against this thing.
I wonder if this thing is powered by the same force that powers our essence points.
So I think a 37 is going to crit you, right?
It sure is.
Okay, that's a total of 28 damage.
Okay.
Would there be any visible indication that Sarna had tried to use an essence point?
We'll say that anytime one of you uses the essence point, much like you have that weird like magnetic tug towards each other, there's like a... the best way to describe it. There's some like noticeable feature that only you four can notice when that happens. Maybe it sounds like a ringing of the ears, or it sounds like the crackle of like a static shock or something for just a split second that only you four seem to ever notice when this happens. So you recognize that Sarna tried to pull on your essence power, but seemingly nothing happened, because you can typically tell, like, hey, if someone is swinging the sword at me and we force them to reroll, it like causes their sword to just ever so slightly tilt to make the sword angle, you know, not hit or something like that. But this time nothing seemed to happen, and you are all aware of it.
I'm at 45 hit points. Down from 73.
When you get hit, give me a will save.
Sure thing. If I can... Okay, here we go. It's typing. Oh, that's a 31.
Okay.
I'm so when you brave. When you got hit
by this sword, it like left clinging shadows to you, and your will save, you were able to just kind of mentally force them off of you, and they dissipate into nothingness as it happens. And it's still got two actions left.
Oh, good.
So that's fun. It flies past you, Sarna.
Okay, thank God. Goodbye.
Which, if you want, you can take an attack of opportunity.
I will take an attack of opportunity, actually. That is only a 20.
Okay, 20 misses. So it flies past you and kind of stands in the center of all four of you and raises its shadowy shield. It's Saren's turn, who needs to start with a will save, please.
No problem.
Okay, you will be frightened one as well, but that's all that you have to worry about. It's your turn.
Rather than being frightened one right at the moment, I am going to use Halfling Luck to reroll a failed skill check or saving throw.
Sure.
And now I get a 31 and a natural 20.
Okay, you were struck by fear for just a moment, but you overcame it.
You had a lucky thought about kittens.
Luckily, I had a nightmare last night about creatures that looked just like this, but it turned silly at the end, so... All right. Then that being the case, I am going to cast Shield, although I will be doing it with my harmonica, because I have it in hand, and then I am going to draw a short sword, and then I am going to move to be right there. That's
right in front of him. Okay. Yep. All right, Zandani.
All right. What do I want to do? I am going to find out if this thing can take attacks of opportunity. I'm going to move over here with Sana.
Okay. As you walk past it, in an almost slow motion kind of feel, as you walk past it, it just tracks you with its eyes perfectly, but then does nothing.
Oh. And then I'm going to cast Heal on Sarna.
Thank you.
The one action or two action heal?
It is going to be a one action heal.
Okay.
Because nobody else needs to... Well,
The two action lets you do extra healing to that one person. Three action is
That's true. That's true. That's true. I did not, strictly speaking, need to move to do it. A two action heal.
Yeah, but I mean, but, moving away from the scary shadow warrior might be all right.
Yes. So. All right, do heal 14.
Thank you. I am up to 59, which actually psychologically feels better.
Yeah. And I'm going to consider healing the shadow on my next turn. But for now, I am done. Oh, I have to roll my will save.
No, once you've rolled it once.
You're okay. Okay.
All right, well, it's Sarna's turn.
I am going to spend my first action drawing my shield. So I'm now fighting one-handed rather than two. And use my second action to get within range. I'm going to kind of come adjacent here, diagonal to the shadow. And then I will swing my sword. That is natural one. That is a 17.
That's good.
Go ahead. What'd you say?
I say, unless you want to use your essence point.
I am. I'm going to experiment and see if that thing is immune or if they just don't work at all here.
Okay. You try to use it and no, you can use it just fine on yourself.
Awesome. Okay, re-rolling that. That's a 31.
That hits, yep.
Excellent. And then damage. 8 slashing damage.
Okay.
How many? That's all three actions. Yeah.
It raises its shield to block all that damage.
Bummer. I'm pretty sure I shout out at everyone else. I'm pretty sure this thing is testing us. I think that this is a test of our strength as warriors.
Yeah, I was just about to say, sorry to attack you, but I hope this is enough proof for us to be able to go into that pit. And Ev spreads his arms out as he chants, Ucha wa gigamblora. And 6 different points of light will manifest, turn into sharp missile-like objects, as Ev casts a 3rd level magic missile and sends all, I said third level, right? Third level magic missile to send all six missiles into the creature.
You nice. Love to see it.
Yeah. So that is 6d4 plus 6 for 24 damage. Nice.
24
average.
Unerring damage.
Yeah.
All right. That all hits.
Lovely. And that's all three of my actions.
You blast this thing with magic missiles. It turns, looks at you, has the slightest like squint at you with its eyes, and then turns back to Sarna.
I did apologize first.
Again, Sarna, it's trying to swing at you. It's a 27 to hit.
That hits.
Yeah, so 27 hits you for 13 damage. This is negative damage.
I can eat that up.
You rolled a natural 20 on that, we'll say, when you got hit by that. So all attempts of like the shadow to cling to you when you get hit seem to just continually like slough off of you, which I guess that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it will again fly back. It flies past all of you between these two pillars here, and again raises its shield. It's Saren's turn.
Well, that sort of ruined my plan to flank it. I am going to cast Ghost Sound to create the sound of four guys yelling as they come around the corner of one of the pillars right next to it, while I yell, "He's in position! Get him!" and attempt to demoralize him with an intimidate check by making him think he's fallen into our trap.
She can sure try that.
Love it.
A 32 on a natural 20.
Whew, boy. Well, I mean, who am I to deny you a natural 20? He is, I forget how much frightened he becomes on that. Let me double check
here. If they demoralize on a normal success, the target becomes frightened 1. On a critical success, the target becomes frightened 2.
He becomes frightened 2. Good work. Yay. I think that's all of your actions, right?
Yeah, it is.
All 2 right. for
1 for demoralize.
Ziadani's turn.
It moved just slightly too far for me to hit it in a 3-action heal. It's very disappointing. All right, I will move very slightly forward, and then I'm going to cast a 2-action heal on the shadow creature. So it is entitled to a fortitude save.
Okay, it does so at a -2 penalty. Assuming your DC hasn't changed much.
It
it's got a 24.
Yeah, so it succeeds, so it would take half damage.
Okay.
From my 2.
Oh boy.
Sorry to laugh at you.
No, it's hilarious.
Great. You blast it with your 2-action heal, I assume that's what that was, right?
Yeah, okay. That's correct.
And it just kind of fizzles out as it hits him. Hits the figure, and they look at you, kind of smirk.
That's my turn.
Okay. Sarna.
This thing keeps using tactics.
How dare it?
How dare it? It makes me keep coming to it every time. And wasting one of my actions on movement. So that's annoying. But I move forward. I will use my sword. Scorpions are way better at not using tactics. and that is only an 18, so I'm going to burn another essence point and re-roll.
Great. Sure.
Got nothing to lose. Except for my life. That's a 35.
Nice. 35 is a critical hit.
Yes!
Okay. It looks like you're rolling a 19 to crit a thing.
Nice.
That tells you anything.
That is very exciting. Okay, that is 13 damage times 2, so 26.
Okay, it blocks some of this damage, but it can't block all of it.
Does it look impressed at all?
So you come down with your sword, and you know it gets its shield up, and it gets bashed into it a bit, and it nods when that happens. Yes.
Okay, and using my last action to raise my shield again.
All right, Ev.
Ev is going to move back just a bit. Yeah. So he's 10 feet from his allies. Let's see. And then Ev will raise a hand, and as he does, there's this very dark, almost like navy blue energy that has like highlights of white as he reaches up his hand and just says, "Be gone, undead," and a lance of energy will come out as he casts Disrupt Undead.
Oh boy.
Yeah, we'll see if it actually harms the thing.
We'll see if it's more effective than my heal.
3d6 plus 4, which would be 15 damage. It gets a fortitude save DC 21.
Fortitude save. All right, it fails, so it takes
full damage.
All of that damage.
Yeah!
Which is good to know. And then Ev just nods. Yeah, it's undead. Sorry again if this is just a test.
Ev, it again narrows its eyes at you.
I don't think it likes me using magic. This was probably just supposed to be combat training. Sorry, that's what I do.
But then you see it, what's this? Yeah, you got plenty of speed for this. It flies over to the top of the platform that's overlooking the pit. and it looks at all of you. It points its sword at all of you, gives a nod, and then kneels as if like to bow before you. And then you see it jump straight into the pit, and it disappears. And as it jumps through the pit, it cuts open the film as it falls away out of sight.
Yeah.
Oh. Ooh.
We pass. I'm having a great time. This is awesome.
I don't know. Did we pass or did we fail to stop something?
No, I think we passed. sorry to have interrupted your rest there. I didn't think a shadowy guardian would appear when I stepped up there, but
I didn't expect that either.
Yeah.
Remember what I was saying earlier, that none of us have any idea what's going on, so expectations are low.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sarna is just like pumped. Super pumped. This is rad. I've never seen anything like this. I feel great. That was awesome.
It's true that I've never gotten to jump out and say boo to an undead before. That was fun.
Yeah. Well, how about we actually take that time now? I'm not going to move, and we should get you healed up, Sarna.
Thank you.
This has been a No Direction Network production. Valiant is an original homebrew campaign and is possible with the support of listeners like you. If you would like to support Valiant and the rest of the No Direction Network, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/nodirection. Join us next time for the next episode of Valiant.